Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, what's going on with Whirlpool? Their stock is down more than 60% over the past year, and they've cut their full-year earnings forecast in half. Is one of Northwest Ohio's biggest employers in trouble? Also this morning, before Amazon, eBay, or Temu, at-home shopping in real time was born on television. And QVC is celebrating their 40th anniversary this week with a live event and exclusive deals. And Father's Day is Sunday, and what Dad really deserves is a little time off to spend with his family. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, June 15th, 2026. So Father's Day coming up on Sunday, the National Retail Federation projects we will spend a record $27.9 billion on Father's Day this year. $27.9 billion going to be spent on Dad, surpassing last year's high of $24 billion, but still falling short of the $38 billion we spent on Mom for her day last month. Just saying. Not that it's a competition or anything, but it's a competition. And guys, we're losing. 77% of Americans, they say, will celebrate Father's Day with an average spending projected to reach $226.58 per person. That is what you are supposed to spend on Father's Day, I guess. $226.58. That is up from a record $199.38 last year, but again, less than the $284 per person that is spent on Mom. By the way, 45% of those who are celebrating Father's Day will buy a gift for a dad or a stepdad. 25% will buy for their husband. 13% for a son. 10% for a brother, 8% for a friend who happens to be a dad, and 7% will spend for their grandfather. So that's how it all breaks down, according to the NRF. Kind of interesting. But if you believe this study, there may be fewer dads in the future. This is new data that studies smartphone use. And they say that they're blaming smartphones for contributing significantly to America's falling fertility rates. Smartphones are contributing significantly to America's falling fertility rates. They examined data from June of 2007 to February of 2011 when the iPhone was first released. And they found that smartphone use explains, according to the researchers, 33 to 52% of the decline in general fertility rates among those of childbearing years. CDC data shows birth rates have, in fact, dropped steadily since 2007, reaching an all-time low of 53 births per 1,000 women in 2025. And experts say smartphones change behavior. Now, you would think maybe it was the radiation from smartphones doing something to our bodies. No, they say that the smartphones change behavior by reducing face-to-face interactions, leading to less frequent activity that leads to a higher birth rate, if you know what I'm saying. It's because we're not talking to each other. We're not having face-to-face interactions, and thus we are not having as many babies. 2019 survey found one-third of adults use technology every single night. 25% say their partner's device use interferes with their intimate relationship. However, experts note smartphones are just one factor alongside many others. Rising costs, delayed marriages, career priorities affecting modern fertility decisions. But they say anywhere from a third to half of the decline in America's birth rate can be attributed to smartphones. So put the smartphone down and do what couples do instead of clicking around Facebook all night in bed. Wow. So there you go. Make of that what you will, but it's not having interactions anymore. A couple of other items here. Among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Maybe you have a big barbecue for Dad on Father's Day. Maybe Dad, you know, goes out and cooks for the family, and so it's a big, it's very typical summer weekend, right? Big barbecue. The cost of hosting a summer barbecue has jumped. According to newly released figures from Wells Fargo, it is their summer barbecue food report. They do this every year, and they say grilling for 10 people will set you back an average of $161, so roughly $16 per person. The price of beef is up 14% this year, chicken and pork up 3%, hot dogs up 5%, and side dishes are up 3% because of higher manufacturing wages being passed on to consumers. That's what they say. So the cost of a summer barbecue, $161 this year, according to the barbecue, the official barbecue food report. By the way, if you have a backyard barbecue, you're going to need beer. Coors Light unveiled the Taller Boy can last week. Did you see this? This was actually in conjunction with the World Cup. But, you know, I'm thinking for your backyard barbecue, this would be very handy. The Taller Boy can is an extra limited edition, extra large beer holder designed to hold three full cans of Coors Light simultaneously. by the way, it costs $30 at shop.coorslight.com while supplies last. Meanwhile, Miller Lite also introduced the Miller Time MVP Match Ball. And again, this is in conjunction with the World Cup, but it would be perfect for, I mean, even if you don't care about the World Cup, this would be perfect for your summer backyard barbecue. It's the Miller Time MVP Match Ball. It is a cooler in the shape of a soccer ball that holds 12 Miller Lite cans. So, and that sold for $19.75 online. So check those out. The Taller Boy Coors Light cooler can. Coors! That's their big World Cup commercial campaign. Let's see. The SAT, this big time of the year, graduation, college graduation, and you know all of that. So it's kind of a postscript on the college or the high school and college graduation season. The SAT is celebrating its 100th anniversary. It's actually coming up next week. The 100th anniversary of the SAT. Hard to believe a kid's been taking the SAT for 100 years. About 8,000 students took the very first test in 1926, compared to 2 million a year take it today. Pew Research shows that the average, they analyzed the scores over the years, average SAT scores fell from 1059 to 1006. Between 1967 and 2015, reading scores have dropped nearly 50 points, while math declined just 5 points, which I would have guessed it would have been the other way around. But math scores have consistently outpaced reading since 1990. The rival ACT test, which was introduced in 1959, so not nearly as long of a history as the SAT, also shows similar declines. Today's SAT features 98 questions in 134 minutes. That's the breakdown. 98 questions in 134 minutes. Originally, the very first SAT had 315 questions, and you had 97 minutes to finish it. So fewer questions and more time, and yet the scores still have gone down. So, know what that says. I'm not making any judgment. I'm just passing along the information. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This is actually very serious stuff. So I saw this on the Newswire. Calls to poison centers, poison control centers, involving the active ingredient in Benadryl and some over-the-counter sleep aids being abused by teens in the first 5 months of 2026, more than double compared with the same period last year. This is, I guess this is a social media thing. Social media users have documented taking excessive amounts of Benadryl in an attempt to overcome the medication's drowsy effects and experience a euphoric feeling. So that's what they're doing. The advisory here from the from America's Poison Centers comes after Connecticut officials warned that three children in their state died from an apparent overdose in the last couple of months. Symptoms of overdose poisoning can include agitation, hallucinations, seizures, dangerous heart rhythm problems, and loss of consciousness, according to the advisory. So the active ingredient in Benadryl and some over-the-counter sleep aids being abused by kids for whatever reason. So it's an advisory. Have this conversation with your kids. That is not good stuff. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny today with a high around 70. Just a few clouds tonight, low in the 50s. At the Ohio State House, lawmakers have approved a bill to expand what's included under the state's vehicular homicide laws.
This push comes after prosecutors were not able to file manslaughter charges against a person who killed someone while they were driving a golf cart. So the new list will contain vehicles such as motorized scooters and e-bikes and mopeds in addition to the golf carts.
ONN's Christy Paul reporting that the bill is now in Governor DeWine's hands to review. Get more on it in this story on our website. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office has released its monthly activity report for the month of May. During the month, the Sheriff's Office closed nearly 2,300 total incidents, including conducting 101 criminal investigations, 276 traffic stops, investigating 71 traffic crashes, and executing 33 arrest warrants. Hancock County Sheriff Michael Cortez says he appreciates the continued support of the Hancock County community and the Sheriff's Office remains dedicated to providing professional public safety services across every part of the county. You can look over the full Sheriff's Office monthly report at your own leisure in this story on our website. The American Red Cross of North Central Ohio celebrated their volunteers at their annual recognition dinner. The chapter recognized volunteers for their outstanding service to the Red Cross with several awards, including the Red Cross Volunteer Humanitarian Award, which was presented to the Finley VA Clinic coffee cart team. Additional volunteer leadership awards were presented, and several volunteers were recognized for giving more than 1,000 hours of their time to the Red Cross. See the full list of those recognized in this story on our website. The Ohio State Highway Patrol is again offering a unique opportunity to ride with an on-duty trooper to see if you have what it takes to join their ranks. Learn more about the Highway Patrol's ride-along program in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, if you've been paying attention to what's been going on with Whirlpool lately, one of our region's largest employers has been struggling. Less than a year ago, the company's stock was trading at over $110 a share. Now it's down to around $40. Last month, they suspended their dividend payment for the first time since the 1950s and cut their full-year earnings outlook in half. And just in the past week, they announced the elimination of second shift production at a plant in Iowa, leading to nearly 300 layoffs. Joining us this morning is Bankrate financial analyst Stephen Cates. And obviously, Stephen, a lot of people in Northwest Ohio are tied to Whirlpool, either directly for a paycheck or indirectly in their investment portfolio or both. So folks got to be wondering, is this a company in trouble?
Well, they're not in good shape, I'll say that. But you know, Whirlpool's been through a lot and numerous times. I mean, they're a very, you know, long in the tooth company. Mm-hmm. So they've seen many things. The 2008 crisis, for instance, that's in relatively recent memory. Stock price was lower then than it is now. They had worse free cash flow, worse net income. You know, conditions obviously for just about everybody were bad back mm-hmm. then. And, you know, demand for new washer dryers, for new equipment, the real estate market back then was poor. It's poor today. that's one of the major factors that's really impacting this.
And explain that tie-in, because that may not be immediately obvious to everyone, to casual observers.
Yeah, so right now, people aren't moving. They're sitting in their homes. They're staying with what they have. When you buy a new home, oftentimes you may upgrade the appliances.
Right.
When a home gets renovated, you may get new appliances. As new homes are built, they're all getting new appliances. We have a low level of new builds, existing home sales, you know, and that is a situation that is basically putting the kibosh on Whirlpool's kind of constant stream of sales. And then you add to that the fact that we've got accelerating inflation. CPI was out today, 4.2% year over year, the highest since 2023.
Mm-hmm.
People are struggling. Budgets are tight. Energy costs are high. That is also constraining the buying power of the average household. So even if you're not moving, you're not renovating, you're generally probably also trying to avoid large new purchases mm-hmm. that maybe you can avoid.
Yeah.
So somebody who might otherwise, in less inflationary conditions, they might say, hey, you know what? It's time to get a new washer dryer.
Yeah.
Let's do this. They're going to say, hey, let's wait until next year. Mm-hmm. Let's see if things can improve. Real net income, which is, the inflation adjusted earnings growth, year over year is negative. People have less money in inflation adjusted terms today than they did last year. Things are worse for the average household. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that people are putting off some purchases that maybe they can avoid for a little longer.
Does that...
It's going to hurt all retailers, especially for big ticket items like a washer dryer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. This doesn't sound like this is necessarily unique to Whirlpool. This would be an entire industry that is struggling with this. Does it create perhaps pent up demand when the market for these big ticket items does bust loose, or when the real estate market does rebound?
Yes, I think it would. So I think that one of the things that Whirlpool has done that you mentioned in the beginning of suspending their dividend, that's not done lightly. After so long paying a dividend uninterrupted, they made a very difficult decision that is going to punish their stock price. I tend to view that, through the lens of what Whirlpool is and type of company it was and is. A dividend payer, a strong, with a long, strong history of mm-hmm. paying, as a consumer company that manufactures here in the U.S., they're choosing to be punished by investors as opposed to finding those savings elsewhere through plant shutdowns, additional cuts to pay, additional cuts to shifts.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to make very difficult decisions. Now, obviously, they've made cuts to shifts. There may be more trouble down the line. Of cutting the dividend reduces their expenses, the cash outlays that they've got to make elsewhere. And hopefully that can be maintaining the staff, maintaining shifts, and putting them potentially in a better position.
Yeah.
A lot of that money is going towards paying down debt, which should help the health of the company long term. They wouldn't be investing in the company in that way if this is an existential crisis.
Yeah.
So I do think that management is likely assuming that they're going to weather this storm, and they made some decisions that are going to be tricky for stock price, and obviously tricky for people whose shifts got cut. But I think it was with a long-term lens towards financial health.
Yeah.
Over, not just the next year, but probably the next decade.
Well, and that actually kind of speaks to the other question that I wanted to ask, because I'm no expert, but when I look at all of this, it seems like this would be a company perhaps ripe for a takeover or a buyout or some sort of activist investor to come in and say, hey, we're going to direct this turnaround. But you don't necessarily see that happening.
Well, I mean, that's hard to know. I mean, could a company come in and buy that, buy Whirlpool, and with some expectations of synergies or expanding manufacturing capacity?
Yeah,
maybe. I think that's hard to know. Right now, private equity, private capital companies, they're having their own troubles of which are all their own fault. But
Fair enough.
I wouldn't say that there's a clear buyer that might come in my mind that says, oh, this is a perfect synergy for Whirlpool. Now it could happen. I think the lower the stock price goes, the more ripe they might be, as obviously a very strong name brand company.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is a situation where, you know, I think unfortunately we're potentially early on in this kind of real estate malaise. So the lack of demand, the high inflation, you know, puts the tariffs, you know, that puts a lot of headwinds in front of Whirlpool as far as sort of coming back.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's an existential crisis for the company. I don't think it's something that, you know, is on the road to bankruptcy. It's really just a matter of they've got to buckle down, tighten the belt,
mm-hmm.
be diligent about how they're managing the business. You know, and difficult choices will have to be made.
Yeah. Well, like we mentioned, Whirlpool obviously has a huge footprint in Northwest Ohio. The Findlay plant is the world's largest dishwasher manufacturing facility. Clyde has the largest washing machine plant in the world. And in April, they actually announced an investment in Perrysburg to create a new plant to produce appliance components and do sub-assembly work. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
I think so. I mean, investing in the business like this is not done lightly. You know, those are decisions that are being made through the lens of what is known about the economy. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had, you know, tariffs, you know, through most of the last year here, that do impact the components that they need, the manufacturing that is being done.
Good point.
And so decisions that are being done in light of those things. If they're investing in the business, there's a belief that, you know, there's growth to be had. A company like Whirlpool that's been around for so long, you know, they have been through a lot, many crises, many recessions, many issues of inflation and other problems economically. So, you know, there's an understanding of how can this business weather these things through the lens of history, not just in a textbook, but lived experience. From a management team and probably from many of the workers that are actually building some of these appliances. So, you know, my view is that it may not be a good couple of years for the stock. It may be a little bit of a tougher time for the workers, but Whirlpool's not going anywhere.
Certainly that is good news and very reassuring for a lot of folks. No question. Again, Bankrate financial analyst Stephen Cates with us. Stephen, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate your insight.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Well, back before Amazon Prime and Facebook Marketplace, at-home shopping in real time was born on television 40 years ago. And the brand that started it all, QVC, is celebrating in a big way. And joining us with all of the details are QVC hosts John Battaglise and Kim Gravel. Thanks for being with us this morning. Talk a little bit about the 40th anniversary and what that means and why this is such a milestone for the QVC brand.
Well, it's huge. It's been here for 40 years. I personally launched my brand at QVC 10 years ago. So this celebration is so special because 40 years being a leader in the live social shopping just world. And can I just say, that's the future too. So it's like QVC was the original. They were the OG. Mm-hmm. And also to be the number one TikTok shop in TikTok. So we're here on June 17th, and we're going to celebrate that. 8-hour Super Brand Day, celebrate that legacy and also launch into this as being the number one TikTok shop, launching it into this new generation that is going to offer this community and deals. And I like to call it shoppable entertainment.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's talk about some of the must-haves. You got this big event with a celebration and exclusive deals. What are some of the must-have products to be shopping for this summer?
Well, I think the nice thing is we've got everything that you don't know you need, uh-huh. and then we have all the things you've been waiting for. So On our Super Brand Day, June 17th, we're launching the Dyson Travel Supersonic Hair Dryer. And that's like one of those ticket items that you search for and you wait for to drop in price. This is that launch of it because it's smaller, it's lighter, it still is mighty. But you get it at QVC not only for the value, but that value includes things you can't get other places. So you're getting the tools you need, the styling tools, and you are getting that brush all in one. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to be live for 8 hours that day. But we also have those tried and true brands that really are the DNA of QVC. Things like Philosophy, where you can get those shower gels that you find all over, but we have them in exclusive scents, sizes, and we have a 5-pack for you that is at a great value. We also have great beauty for you. So things like Doll 10 makeup, where you're getting that peptide blur stick with the foundation and the brush. It really becomes like a second skin, so it's great for summer. And in the beauty world, Kim is the new queen because she has brought us our Love Who You Are brand, and it really is kind of spanning everything you need.
Set of two lip glosses, the Quench body creams. We've even got, like, as a woman over a certain age, I'm 54, I'll just claim it. We have cooling pillows. We have cooling pillows, pillows that, you know, that you lay your head on and it's nice and cool in this summer heat. But my favorite is our Bissell carpet cleaner. It's like this travel size little mini carpet cleaner. I live with two teenage boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got some dirty carpet. So I love our Bissell. Again, you're finding everything you need for your home, and you're also finding a community that welcomes you with open arms, that loves you. And we've been doing it for 40 plus years, and we plan on doing it for 40 plus more.
Mm-hmm. And John, I want to ask you about this because, and Kim was kind of touching on this a little bit earlier, the way QVC continues to evolve for this new generation of shoppers and this new generation of technology. I understand you are debuting a new podcast and talk show on QVC Plus and HSN Plus. Tell us more about this.
I am. It's called Carte Blanche, and the whole premise is, you know, life's a blank check. You should spend it on what you love. And when we talk about the next generation, I am exactly that. I was raised on QVC, and not only in my own household, but I would stay up all night watching it by myself. And it's because I loved the community. You know, I wasn't shopping for things, but you just can't help but feel sucked in by it. And you
know, it feels like home.
It does. It feels like home. I always used to describe it. It felt like a Barbie dream house. You know, somewhere
mystical.
And the nice thing is that I fell in love with all of those people and personalities because they were inspiring every one of our customers. And we continue to do that. So the premise is to continue that, but bring it to a next generation in the way that we shop now, not only on TikTok shop, but snackable, great clips, viral moments with my friends who are in the entertainment industry, actors, influencers, musicians, comedians. And I am going to be interviewing them and not only, you know, having the fun podcast talk show moments, but really highlighting some of our favorites when it comes to recommendations for shopping, where, you know, no one will tell you how it is, like one of your best friends over a couple drinks being like, you need to get this moisturizer. That's the premise of the show.
You need to get the Bissell carpet cleaner.
Well, yeah, well, especially after a couple drinks. But you can find that on QVCplus.com, and it's going to be there June 16th. It premieres the day before this June 17th event. So my recommendation, sit down, watch the show, and then tune in June 17th. And as a little sneak preview, Kim and I are going to be actually at the end of that day recording a live episode of the podcast that will premiere in July.
Okay. So again, Wednesday, June 17th is the big 40th anniversary event, the big celebration. Where do we go to tune in to the live stream and shop all of the amazing deals that we're going to have on that day?
You can head over to TikTok for our QVC TikTok shop. You just type QVC into the search bar and you will see that live stream 8 hours that day. But we've still got it on every single day as well. We're live on TikTok and live 24/7 on QVC on your local listings as well. If you have cut the cord and you don't have cable, you're in luck because we have our streaming platform as well that's on most smart TVs. That's QVC Plus and HSN Plus. It's a pre-downloaded app, but you can access it on QVCplus.com as well. Catch Carte Blanche, our live show, and all of the great entertainment that lives there. But do not forget to mark your calendar for June 17th.
We will link up to it on our webpage as well. John Batticalise and Kim Gravel with QVC with us this morning. Guys, thanks very much for taking the time. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. Police in Rossford are investigating a report that a DoorDash driver keyed a woman's vehicles. What? The victim says she checked out footage from a surveillance camera after she and her husband noticed damage to their cars. And the video showed the DoorDasher dropping off the food at their home and then keying the vehicles as the individual left. What? DoorDash says that they are also investigating. I would imagine this person will not be DoorDashing for very much longer. What? Why would... Man, some people. Here's another story from the What Are They Thinking file in the Broken News, and this one out of Boston. Boston police are searching for two juvenile suspects who robbed a children's lemonade stand last Wednesday afternoon. Oh, how low do you have to be to rip off a kid's lemonade stand? And it was kids that did it. The suspects, described as boys aged approximately 11 and 14, approached the stand around 4:45 in the afternoon after making several passes by the location. They asked the young vendors if they took Apple Pay and then seized the cash box containing roughly $50. Come on. Again, from the file of What Are People Thinking? What is... The older suspect displayed a firearm tucked in his waistband during the theft, according to police. Both suspects fled the scene immediately after the robbery. Authorities are requesting public assistance in identifying the perpetrators. Man, what are we coming to in this world? What are people thinking? Here's our dumb criminal of the day. This is the man who is facing charges after attempting to break in to the Oklahoma County Detention Center, Oklahoma City, tried to break into the jail. A deputy found the suspect, identified as 32-year-old Jake Minervi Blue, digging a hole by a wall of the jail building. Naturally, the police officer questioned this man's actions. excuse me, what are you doing? Mr. Minervi Blue explained he was trying to get into the jail to see his girlfriend, who was inside. Later, though, he changed his story to say he was just trying to plant flowers. just sprucing up the place. Just planting some flowers. No. Well, the good news in the whole thing is that now I guess he can spend more time with his girlfriend because he was placed into custody. Investigators say Mr. Minervi Blue had outstanding arrest warrants out of state as well. So I don't know how long he'll be there in that particular facility, but for the time being, visit his girlfriend. He's just planting flowers. Trying to break into jail. That's a new one. A couple of other items in the broken news this morning. You gotta love the irony of this. Apparently, the IRS office complex near Atlanta has a rat and roach problem. A rat and roach problem at the IRS office. Sometimes the jokes just write themselves. The agency says employees at the Chamblee, Georgia facility can telework. They can work remotely while the sixth-floor building is cleaned and treated. The move follows a Thursday protest and a letter from Georgia lawmakers who said the infestation had plagued the office for weeks. Workers say rats and roaches inside the building led to some employees getting sick or even leaving the job. The IRS says specialized pest control is being brought in, but they have not said when workers can return. Just the irony of a rat and roach problem at the IRS office. All right. And finally, in the broken news this morning, I don't know if you heard about this, a handbag created from laboratory-grown Tyrannosaurus Rex skin went up for auction in Paris last week. A handbag made from the skin of a T-Rex. There were estimates going in that this could reach, this handbag, definitely one of a kind, this handbag could fetch $500,000. That was the expectation going in. The teal-colored purse represents the first commercial item made from reconstructed dinosaur proteins. Scientists from Newcastle University and partner companies analyzed fossilized collagen fragments and used AI to rebuild ancient genetic sequences. Living cells then produced the T-Rex leather material. Leather from a Tyrannosaurus Rex. They turned into a handbag. Professor Che Cannon and his research team developed the technology as a potential sustainable alternative to traditional animal leather. I guess if they figured we're going to create fake animal skin, let's start with a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Let's start with a dinosaur. The auctioneer for the sale, Alexandre Gakeo, called the piece a historic milestone that challenges the boundaries of creativity and luxury. But here's the twist. Here's the twist in the story. It didn't sell. They expected the dinosaur skin handbag, the dinosaur skin purse, to fetch upwards of $500,000, and it did not sell. Not only did it not sell for less than it expected to bring, it did not sell at all. So apparently, there's not a market for dinosaur skin handbags after all. Dinosaur skin handbags. You can't make this stuff up. Did not sell. So we'll probably see it on eBay for like $20. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Riverside Civic Concert Series means great music each Wednesday night. Along with the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts, WFIN is proud to MC another season of concerts at the Band Shell at Riverside Park. This week, the Fostoria Community Band. Concerts are at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11. We air that week's concert courtesy of Coldwell Banker Flag City. Join us on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Call it football, or soccer. Fans are passionate about their teams. You see it on display in the World Cup, you know, where the teams represent, you know, national identity for soccer fans. And it extends to club soccer as well. It's not just during the World Cup. In fact, to demonstrate just how passionate soccer fans are for their teams, I saw this new survey of 2,000 global soccer enthusiasts. They found that 38% ask potential dates about their team allegiance, like right out of the gate in the relationship. More than one-fifth of soccer supporters refuse to date fans of a rival team. Absolutely refuse. 4 in 10, 38% ask a potential date about team allegiance early in a relationship. Nearly 4 in 10 use this information as a deal breaker. 23% say they would worry about their family and friend reactions if they dated a fan of a rival team. Among couples that do have opposing loyalties and somehow make it work, it says 13% only watch matches together in public in order to prevent arguments. 13% say that they will only watch a match in public. Otherwise, it'll turn into an argument. Presumably because they're in public, so you can't, you know, argue and your significant other in public. That's surprisingly effective, I guess. Also, 22% have disputed which team their future children should support. The survey found 27% would choose watching football over dating. Match results, referee decisions, and games prioritizing over social events caused the most relationship conflicts. arguing about games prioritizing over social events or even referee decisions within the games actually is a top relationship conflicts. Now, all of that being said, despite tensions that split loyalties create, 42% say they want partners who are interested in sports. Women, actually, more likely than men to ask about team preferences on the first date. Women, more likely than men. Soccer fans are a unique breed, that is for sure. Well, Father's Day is coming up, of course, a day to honor dads for all of the things that they do and the sacrifices they make for their families. But many dads are sacrificing more than they should, missing meaningful moments with their kids because work and financial pressure often get in the way. More than half of dads say that they have missed an important family event due to work, according to a new survey by DECT, which is a U.S. company specializing in storage for trucks and garages. So joining us this morning is Greg Randolph, Vice President of DECT and a dad himself. So, Greg, you know that the struggle is real. Tell us about your dad time off initiative here.
Well, I think it's something we can all relate to is hardworking dads. And as you mentioned, I've got four kids of my own, so I'm certainly guilty of having missed some of those life events. But dad time off really came about, you know, wanting to give back to the community for Father's Day rather than just trying to sell something. And we came up with this dad time off campaign. And so we're going to award 100 dads $500 that they can spend in lieu of lost wages to take the day off, spend it with their family, their kids, whatever they need to do, be more connected at home. And that research really revealed that dads do struggle. About 65% of dads said in the last year that they missed a significant event of either their family or their kids. About 55% of them said it's because they simply couldn't afford to take the day off. And
yeah.
So this is our way to give back, and really happy to be able to do this for the Americans out there that are hardworking.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I wanted to reference that survey that we were talking about. What were some of the biggest challenges that working dads face? What did they tell you about that?
I think it's really a challenge of the work-life balance, and a lot of times it is, you know, financial, economic stress that they simply couldn't, especially blue-collar dads, wage earners, and they don't get paid if they don't go to work, about 10% more likely to have, you know, missed a significant life event because they just couldn't take the day off. They couldn't afford to miss those hours on the clock. And all the way to like missing birthday parties, like 25% of them said that they missed a birthday party because they were too busy or couldn't afford to take the day off.
Yeah.
And it's even more profound when you get to the younger generation, you know, the millennial dads, the young Gen Z dads that are out there, they're just getting started off in the world. It's even harder for them to take a day off because they're just getting started. They're building that foundation. And really just it was pretty clear that we needed to figure out a way to relieve some of that pressure.
Yeah, I thought that was rather interesting, too, the fact that blue-collar dads are more likely to miss these events than our white-collar dads, although certainly there are workaholics that work in offices as well, and younger dads versus older dads. And that part really alarmed me because, you know, these are times that you don't get back with your dad or with your kids, and your kids don't get back with their dads. So especially when you're younger and the kids are younger, it becomes even more important.
Absolutely. I think that the family is really the rock of the society. And if families are, you know, well prepared for, if you're present, if you're able to be there for those events or those times, the society is, we're going to be in a better place.
Yeah.
And this research just really showed us that, you know, it's just not an option for a lot of dads out there, that they're busy, they've got to provide, they have a lot going on. And it was a way for our brand, who has a lot of blue collar customers, to help these customers of ours that we really, you know, care for and hold dearly, to just help them have, you know, that time that they need with their family.
So how does the Dad Time Off campaign work? Who can be nominated? Kind of lay all of this out for us.
It's really simple. So you can nominate yourself if you're a dad. You can nominate your own dad, or you can nominate a dad you know. We don't really care who it is. We're just looking for, you know, the 100 dads out there that need a day off. And you go to our website, which is DECKED.com. So if you go to DECKED.com, on the homepage there, you'll see the banner for Dad Time Off. Click that banner and it'll take you to the entry form, or you can go to deck.com/DTO. And all you need to do is fill out your name and your email address so we can contact the winners. And then provide us with your nomination. Why should this dad or yourself get a day off? Anecdotes, stories, you know, the reasons why you believe that this is the person, or you're the person that should be awarded this this $500 to take the day off, and we're off to the races.
You know, as great as this program is, and it is terrific, what will really make a difference is for employers to step up. What kind of support do dads need from their employers?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, this is a hard-working society. We're a pull-yourself-up-by-your-own-bootstraps culture.
Mm-hmm.
As employers, it's really important that we understand that the work-life balance of our employees is really important, and then it all starts with the family. When your family is well cared for, you're present and able to be there, you're a better employee. And as an employer at DECK here, it's really important to us that all of our employees, men and women, are able to be present for those life events or for those big moments that you just don't want to miss, because that's where bonds are formed. That's where the foundation's built. And it's important that employers, we believe, you know, we're putting our money where our mouths are here. We're saying, like, we're going to do this. We do this day in and day out for our own employees, but take care of your employees. If they're well taken care of and they're happy, they're secure, and their family's taken care of, they're better employees. They're harder working, they're more committed, they're more loyal, and this is really what makes it all go around.
A lot of wisdom in there. Again, Greg Randolph is vice president of DECT and their Dad Time Off initiative going on right now. Again, mention the website where folks can learn more or submit a nomination.
Yep. Just go to our website, which is DECT, DECKED.com. And if you want to go right to the page, it's DECT.com/DTO. But either way, you'll find Dad Time Off on our website. And then, like I said, it just takes a couple minutes, and you have until Father's Day, so the 21st of this month, to nominate yourself for a dad, and we'll announce all the winners in July.
Terrific stuff. Greg Randolph, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thanks a bunch for having us on this morning, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Visit us online at goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well, and we thank you very much. Coming up tomorrow on the program, if you're looking for some good news in the category of money and finance, here you go. As the midpoint of 2026 approaches, many U.S. consumers continue to demonstrate strong credit performance. We have results of the latest TransUnion Consumer Pulse study. Plus, we'll learn more about Hancock Public Health's new Family Connects program to support families during the early weeks after a baby is born. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.